amazing Fatima Barnes, also known as the Pretty Wanderer. I believe that if we're not on stay-at-home orders, this beauty will be in another country. Oh, goodness. I'm going to restart that.
Okay. Girl, I understand.
Who the long day? Okay. On today's episode, we have the Fatima Barnes, also known as the Pretty Wanderer. I believe that if we're not on the stay-at-home orders, this beauty will be in another country.
I'm doing well. So given the circumstances, like you said, if it were not for these stay-at-home orders, I would definitely be prepared to go on another flight somewhere. So I am literally the epitome right now of sitting here looking crazy. That's me right about now. That's me. That is so me right now.
Oh, good. Wow. All right. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about
yourself? Oh, wow. Okay. So I always get a little thrown off when they say, tell me about yourself, because I'm so layered. I'm so all over the place. But a little bit a little bit about me. I was actually born in Oakland, California, and I moved to Mississippi when I was 10. And I am an avid traveler enthusiast, I guess you could say. And that all probably comes from me growing up in California and having to travel so much to Mississippi over the summers. But I'm an entrepreneur. I am a dog mom. My dog is 5 years old. Her name is Buttercup. So she definitely runs the house. I'm a wife and also a 2012 graduate of the Jackson State University. So, you know, you understand that. You understand the love for that there. But no, I basically business and traveling is my passion. Always has been. And so I've just kind of been combining those two loves, and I'm really passionate about educating my community on business, navigating through life, corporate America, and most importantly, why I'm here traveling and kind of exposing people to the world of traveling outside of the U.S. and even in the U.S., you know, just exposing everyone to the beauty of traveling, because we've kind of been taught all our lives, like these places that I go hasn't always looked like they were in reach. So I just kind of have a passion for educating people and letting them know that, you know, these places can be in reach. So, oh, you did ask about the name Pretty Wanderer. So the Pretty Wanderer actually it's a weird story. I was trying to think of names, and honestly, I could not. All the good names were taken, if we're going to be honest. Everything I thought of, it was already taken. And so if we go back to me talking about where my love for traveling kind of began, when I was, my grandparents actually, is where my love for traveling came at such a young age, because we would have to drive from California to Mississippi to see my mom. I would come and visit her over the summers, and my grandfather wanted to stop in every state and just go somewhere and see what they do there and talk about how they do things, or go to a special site in that state. And he had to talk about it. You know, all my other cousins and siblings, they would kind of dread it, but not me. Like, I loved it. He would always make sure, even if it was simple, we didn't have a lot of money, but even if it was simple, he took us to places like Reno and Lake Tahoe and Santa Cruz in that California area that was in reach. He would still do that. And I think that's kind of where the love went. And he used to call me his pretty. He used to say, I'm his pretty little chocolate doll. I'm the pretty. I was the only girl out of a bunch of guy cousins. So I was pretty much spoiled by all the men in my life. And so all of them, I was pretty. I'm the pretty. And so then the wanderer part came in, because the wanderer is actually defined as someone who travels aimlessly. And so I just thought that it was perfect. So I just kind of put the two together, and there's the Pretty Wanderer. So that's where that came from.
Wow.
Okay. Interesting, to say the least. Honestly, with so many other good names that I thought of, just they were all taken. So I was a little sad by that, but yeah.
I can imagine. Mm-hmm. because it is a lot of people that's traveling, Facebook groups, and just a lot of people. I think I even heard about it. It was a group of like nomads that just kind of travel, and they just kind of live off the grid.
Yeah, it is. It's like, really interesting. Honestly, if I wasn't so tied to, you know, my life the way that it is and being tied to, like, you know, corporate America and having to work or run businesses, I honestly would not be opposed to being a nomad. I really wouldn't in another life. I would not be opposed to it. So that is interesting. It is.
I think it's pretty. Wake up somewhere else. So, like, I guess as far as like the United States, because I didn't know that part about your granddad.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. Because it's always a learning experience. I think that's the part about traveling that people don't talk about. They glamorize, like, the, you know, the experiences and like all the neat things, or going partying all night or whatever, or dressing however you want to, or can dress per se in some places, but they never
talk about the educational piece actually I know most people can't tell, just because by the time I post these things on Instagram, you guys kind of see the places that I go and the sites. You guys don't really get to see, and I will do a better job of that, of the education that I receive every time I do travel somewhere. That part with my grandfather kind of comes in, where I do want to know about where I'm at and the culture and why do they do things the way that they do and how do they do things the way that they do. That's always something that I kind of have to do it when I do travel somewhere. And they always say that, and I've learned too, it was a quote that said that basically when you travel, I didn't realize how much traveling is actually learning and education or something like that. And that is so true. It's so much, it really changes you.
I can imagine. And then it kind of brings that cultural awareness that all jobs talk about. It's like competence and, you know, being fair, or, you know, not offending someone by learning, you know, maybe not necessarily taking a walk in your shoes, but you're actually
makes you open minded, you know, too. So it's a good thing. That's pretty
So how many countries have you visited? If the people did not read your bio,
So I have actually been to, I want to say 16 when I left counts, but so I said 15 in the bio just to be on the safe side, just because I'm not going to necessarily count Puerto Rico since it is a U.S. territory, but I've been to 15 countries, and my goal is to visit all 7 continents. And so after this year, hopefully I will be, if Corona don't sit down somewhere, but I will be at 5 of the 7. And after next year, 2021, that would be 6 of the 7, based off the travel plans that I have for next year too. So I'm just hoping that Corona, you know, sit down somewhere. But yes, I've been to 15, some places I've been to more than once. But yes, I've been to about 15 or 16 different countries.
Y'all hear that? And she just 30, okay?
It's so very possible.
You're like 21, 25 out there. It's possible. Very, very possible, which is goals. What would you tell someone who is looking to travel soon? Like, what are some of the things they should consider when planning, or just trying to cover their fees, or I guess
the biggest thing that I can say to someone who wants to get started traveling, for sure, the first piece of it outside of the finance piece, but the first piece of it I'm going to say is you need to have an open mind. That is key. If you don't have an open mind now, start preparing to get one. Because when you go to these other countries or even other states, everywhere is going to do something different than what you're used to. And what you want to do is you want to make sure that anytime you go somewhere that you're respectful of where you're at. You're respectful of the space that you're in. And you also have to understand that not everything is going to be like it is in America. In fact, America is the minority in a lot of different things. Once you leave America, you kind of see that, you know, we're kind of taught like, oh, America, you know, how, what, the way we do it is the way it's got to be done. It's the best. And you don't speak English and all that. And when you get ready to travel and start traveling, especially internationally, you need to have an open mind and be ready to take in the experience and take it all in as just getting into what it brings and that experience for you, because it's going to be different. You know, people usually are going to either speak a different language or they, you know, their cultures are very different. They do things very different in a lot of different places than compared to America. And so I would just say, have an open mind. Also, I would say as it pertains to planning, the biggest thing for me that I have to do is, you know, I travel hack as well, right? So I have a travel credit card, and I can definitely give you guys the link to my first YouTube video that included how to get started travel hacking with credit cards, because I think that is key to start cutting off expenses on your traveling. But if, for instance, say your credit isn't what it could be right now and you need to build that, but you still want to go, I always recommend that people bundle. Always bundle your flight and hotels together on like Expedia or somewhere else, and also take advantage of payment plans. The reason why I say that is because for me, if I treat traveling, I prioritize traveling in my life. You get what I'm saying? So a lot of people, they're like, how do you get to go here so much? You get to go there so much. But I make traveling a priority. It's important to me. So the way I look at it is almost like another expense or a bill. You know, when I get paid, I put money aside for traveling. You know, that's how ingrained it is in my life. And so if you want to start doing it, I say it's easier to have a payment plan when you're just starting out and you bundle those flights and those hotels. It's easier to have a payment plan. Go through a travel agent. You know, people try to say they're outdated, but there are some travel agents that, you know, they don't get paid off of you. They get, the companies pay them for you going through them, right? So you, back in the day, certain travel agents, they would kind of tax, you know, they would tax their services for you using them, so you would pay more, which is why people are like, no, I can book on my own. Well, nowadays you've seen this sort of shift with travel agency that the travel agents don't necessarily completely have to do that anymore, because it's sort of shifted where they get paid from those companies for you. So you're able to pay really great rates to travel with them. You pay your deposit, and then you have all the way up into a month of the trip, you know, to have it all paid off. If you look at it like a priority and you plan it out accordingly in your life, you can make it happen. You just have to be strategic. And so for me, it may be I don't eat fast food as much. Typically, Monday through Friday, I'm going to bring my lunch. I'm going to cook my food or whatever it may be, because that's money that I could spend on traveling. It may be me buying one less handbag, whatever that sacrifice is. I think that it's important that people understand that if you really want to go and you want to see these places, that you can do it. You know, you just have to make that sacrifice. And then the last thing, lastly, I would say is research, research, research. Wherever you're going, research. Join a travel group. I follow the Black Travel Movement. That's a good one. I follow Girls Love Travel. If it's somewhere that I haven't been and I'm getting ready to go, usually someone else has been there. They can give me tips. They can say, this is what their experience was, and this is what I did when I got to the airport, and this and this and this. And it kind of saves you time on having to research so much. So it's just making it a part of your life or prioritizing it in your life a little bit better. And it's very, very reachable.
Absolutely, because I guess people do see like a lot of the travel groups, some people are in them and they're like, okay, like you said, they're looking at, I guess, the end result, but they're not looking at all like the work and dedication that you got to put forward to this fun adventure, because it costs money, and you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, people, especially like with those budget calculators or something like that, just kind of you know, put on paper, okay, I want to spend,
for me, yeah, 15 to 20 sometimes, but yeah,
somewhere around $8 to $10. Yeah.
Yes, well, food. When it comes to food, yes. Yeah.
Good deal of money myself. $15. Yeah. But you know, some people spend at least a good $8 to $10 or $15 or $20
exactly
on a meal. You almost spend about $100 a week out of that. So, I mean, you can put back $100.
Mm-hmm.
Give or take, it depends. You know, some people got kids and stuff, but
it is. Still make it really work. Is. And when you start travel hacking, if they get into travel hacking, like kind of what I do, it does cut the expenses down drastically. But it also kind of depends on what kind of traveler you are too, because I like to kind of travel a certain way. I like to be comfortable. So I know for me and my lifestyle, I know that I'm going to pay a lot more for certain things because I enjoy certain things, but I do know that there was a time when I didn't and I couldn't, and I still wanted to travel. And so when I did that, I knew to budget a certain way. And then another misconception that I do want to put out there too, though, or another myth I want to bust, so to speak, about traveling is a lot of times traveling internationally is a lot cheaper than traveling domestically too. That's another thing that people don't realize, because you got to think our money is worth a lot more in certain places, right? So if you go to Mexico, usually there's a lot of all-inclusive resorts. So you pay $1,000 for your flight and hotel, which includes all your food and all your alcohol. When you get there, you don't need a little bit of spending money, right? You can't really go to a lot of places in the U.S. and say, I'm only going to spend $1,300 for the whole week. And that's it. How many places can you really do that in the U.S.? Definitely not New York. Definitely not Miami, right? But you can do that in, you can do that in Mexico and do all the things that you want to do. $1,500, you done got your spending money. You done did all your excursions. You all your food, and you can get drunk every night if you want. It's all included. Your food is included. Your flight to get there is included. You see what I'm saying? I'll tell you this, for instance, when I went to Costa Rica, that trip was $700, flight and hotel and room. $700. I can assure you that somebody who doesn't think they can travel has spent $700 easily on a purse, or, you know, just shopping for clothes or hair. Exactly, hair. That's what, 2 weeks? Sometimes 1.5 weeks. So, like, it was just a matter of, like, $700 flight and hotel, and I only had to bring a little bit of spending money with me. Super cheap in Costa Rica, right? So those are things to think about. Is a lot of times people don't realize you can travel internationally usually a lot cheaper than you can in the U.S.
And then these passports,
yes.
I think because what they upped it last year, where you can get in 24 hours.
Which I'm kinda jealous, me too.
Because I spent my little $135 and got it in 2 weeks. Cruise, but
exactly.
Hey, 24 hours. And I mean, what's $150 or $135? Like, it's a good benefit. You keep it for 10 years. So, I mean,
exactly.
What else can you keep for 10 years?
It's worth it if you have a desire to travel. So. It's worth it to pay that. You know, that's one full set of eyelashes for me. You know, that's something I do on a regular. I can spend $150. And if you can't, there's different times where I know that people run into different, you know, you run into money certain times that you do blow. You just got to say, hey, I really want to get a passport. I'm really going to save for that. So I do know that traveling is just a matter of how you prioritize it and will. And a lot of people have the desire and they want to, but they don't really want to make the sacrifice. I mean, you know how many times you plan a trip with 15 people, and by the time the trip comes, only 3 people are going. Everybody say they want to go until it's really time to, you know, put your money where your mouth is. So, you know, that kind of weeds out who's serious about it and who isn't.
Absolutely. You done said a word there. Because it's some people, you know, especially when it comes to like birthdays and, you know, birthdays, bachelorette parties, just any big extravaganza now, because people are doing less parties and more trips, which is great because it kind of is a more memorable effect, I guess. After you done spent all the money for a party, you just could have went on a trip and everybody, yeah. So, but that's pretty neat. Seriously, I hope that people like took in those tips, especially in regards to trying to like factor in, you know, how you want to spend your money. I know everybody kind of at a standstill right now, but even with stimulus check that a lot was about to get, and some of us are still working or working from home or still getting paid, we could put the $1,200 up. Not telling y'all what to do with your money.
If they can, you know.
$1,200 up and
if they can, if you can do it and you're still working at home and you know all your bills are still going to get paid, by all means. But if you need that $1,200 for bills, you know, I'd much rather you pay your bills than be homeless trying to catch a flight to Dubai, you know what I'm saying? So priorities, you know, you definitely gotta have your priorities in order. But if you are in a position to do that, I mean, that is the perfect opportunity with the stimulus check, is because times are hard right now, you know, and it really is. It's probably not gonna get no better for a little bit with everything that's going on. And so, you know, I know that I'm in a position that if I did get to $1,200, I don't really think that I'm going to be able to get that much, but I would probably be able to do something like that. But I know that's not the case for everyone, because like you said, times are hard. But what I would recommend is, during this time, if traveling is something that you would like to get into after this is all over, like maybe it's kind of giving you a newfound outlook, and like maybe you're like, now I see that I really need to be traveling the world, since I know I can't go nowhere right now, so let me just start thinking about this. Maybe this is the time to start looking into how to travel hack a little bit more. You can check out my YouTube video and figure out, okay, let me look at travel credit cards and what I need to do to get that and how I need to travel hack. And this is the perfect time to kind of really start researching that, so that when this is all over, you're kind of ready to get started, because it's gonna be over eventually. This too shall pass, but I do get that times are hard right now.
Yes. And I know she keeps mentioning her YouTube page, but Fatima also has a Facebook group and Instagram page to inform you guys on travel hacks and tips. She has inspired me to go to Dubai eventually. Because I was like, man, this girl. I think it was, where did you guys go last? I think you up and y'all had went on a trip for your husband's birthday. And I was like, okay.
That was St. John. So with my company I work for, I get standby benefits. And so we have been saying that, you know, I just want to not have a plan. We have so many points stored up, honestly, from travel points that we have, that we virtually, a lot of times, honestly, Christy, we barely pay for hotels when we go places. And as you can tell, we stay at nice hotels because of the points that we've earned. You know, and I'm a Westin girl. My husband, he loves the Sheraton. Both. I really love the Westin and the Sheraton. And we all know they're not cheap and they're not just anything. But we rarely have to pay for those hotels. But that was one of those situations where it was like, let's just not have a plan. We're going to plan to try this weekend. Whatever is open on standby, we're just going to see where we land. And it ended up being a really cool adventure. It really did. We really didn't have any major plans. We just knew we was going to go somewhere that was open. We actually were shooting for Aruba at first, but Aruba it booked up at the last second. And so it seemed like everybody's idea was like, let's just wait to the last second to go to Aruba. It was set and it looked like it was good to go until like the last minute. So at the last minute, we were like, oh, St. John, let's just try that. And that's how we ended up there. Thank you.
Well, y'all, if y'all go to this girl page, them photos, like, lucky I had a photographer. So, you're welcome.
You will.
Girl, I don't know. I'm going to get to that point. Seriously. I'm just too, there's too many irons in the fire for me. But traveling is, like, traveling is kind of like relaxation, right, and education and fun all at the same time. I think it deserves to go. Just, I mean, even if it's down the road sometimes, just to get away from your, and it's not away from reality, but it's away from wherever you currently are. It's mentally, it's a good thing. So, and I think it's going to increase, and not necessarily going overseas. That might work for some people. They might be, you know, booking some flights now. But I think that once this thing is over, I really think that it's going to be a huge increase. One, in the beauty industry, of course, because people got to get their hair done. And
most definitely, you're going to see a huge spike in traveling once this is over with. Most definitely.
Yeah. I think people are really going to, you know, especially like with those family trips and those family reunions and stuff. I think, you know, our new normal, as a lot of people I think it's really going to bring back, like, the togetherness, you know, so many different levels, maybe not just within families, maybe within different, you know, levels of relationships, friendships, marriages, etc. I think it's gonna bring back
that's true, know, and traveling does have a way of doing that, because one thing that that's the one thing that my husband and I, that we both are on the same page, like, we love to do it. It keeps us connected, because if you think about it, you're so busy throughout the week. You have to work, you have to do this. And like you said before, I wear many hats. My husband, he works, you know, in the medical field. So that can take a lot on you. And so even though we still have our date nights and we still make sure that we enjoy each other, sometimes it's nothing like, you got to get out of your environment and experience something else together to connect. And so that's why we make it a priority that we travel together too. And I think more families start to do that. And the more, you know, people in relationships and friends and all of that, it's always a way to connect outside of your environment.
And just learn one another just for a second. So this, I think it's going to be a spike. We're going to see a lot of change. But
is a tough question for me, because I have been so many places, and I usually take something from all of them that I love, right? I'm the type of person that when I travel, I vibe off the people first and the culture. That kind of determines what my experience is going to be like and how I feel. I can break that down for sure. It's so hard, into like a top three, maybe. So for me, Maui, Hawaii is probably my number one. That is my happy place. When I was 12, I actually stayed in Hawaii for 3 weeks. I went on a vacation with a friend and her family, and I was there for 3 weeks, and I fell in love with it then. And then as an adult, I said, I got to go back and I got to experience it. And it just topped it even more. Like, I fell in love with the culture. I felt at peace there. I fell in love with the food. Oh my God, the food was so good. I felt like I had to eat something all the time just because I wanted to try so much, and everything was so delicious. Some of the best sushi I ever had, some of the best Korean food. Hawaii is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to, and I felt at peace there. And then to learn the culture and the history of the island and to see how they take care of the locals, for me, Maui is it. It's like one of my most memorable places. And I would definitely say second would be Bali, Indonesia. Bali is everything, okay? from the people. The people are the most beautiful spirited people. Like, just so for instance, they don't believe in karma, right? So they don't argue, they're not going to dispute. And so it's kind of sad to see sometimes, because some people kind of, some tourists kind of took advantage of that, but they're just such beautiful spirited people. So I like to, like I said, I connect with the people, but Bali was absolutely beautiful. Reminded me a lot of Hawaii. The temples there, absolutely amazing. You don't see that often. The culture, it was everything. And of course, Paris, because Paris is where I kind of feel like, you know, it's me, honey. That's my place. And that one, I'm just trying to be relaxed. But, you know, you go to Paris, you think about the fashion and the shopping and the buildings and the history of it. And just, you just feel like, you know, a little boss or something when you're in Paris. So I've been there twice too. And that's a place for me too, that I'm just like, oh, I love it. It's memorable for me. So I could break it down into three for sure. But it's something that I take away from so many places that I just love. So many places. So it's really hard to say, but that's my top three.
I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. And definitely Paris.
Yes. I
get in front of the Eiffel Tower and all of it. See the structural buildings, and probably to try the pastries. I know they mentioned a lot about the pastries there. It's something that, like,
yes, honey, the pastries and the chocolate and those kind of things, they get desserts right. Desserts and bread, that's their thing, right? They get that right. You know, sometimes the food was a little iffy. I found myself eating at a lot of like the Mediterranean restaurants and things like that there. But the desserts and the pastries and that's a one right there. They have it. It's really hard once you get back to not compare it to how you tried it there, because it's just that delicious. Yeah.
I think the authenticity of the food and the culture are one of those things, because I actually went on my first cruise on Christmas, and went to Cozumel, and like Mexican food, which I don't eat Taco Bell anyway, but no shade against anybody that does eat Taco Bell, but it's like eating their authentic food. And like eating food here is kind of like you're still looking for that same feel, which there's a couple of places locally that hits it on the head. But I think that, you know, similar to that, eating in the place where the food actually is, you know,
made, you're just not. You're right. You're not, because baby, I don't remember where I was at in Cozumel, but I had some fish tacos. And I've been searching for some fish tacos to taste like that ever since I left Cozumel, and I cannot find them at all. Cannot find it to taste like that. Every time I go somewhere and I kind of see it on the menu, I'm kind of like, let me just see if maybe they can get it right. You know, let me just see if they can get it right. And I'm just like, oh, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same.
They had some like it was some fruit like not, I don't know what I'm saying. I want to say pop tarts. That's not exactly what I'm trying to say.
Oh, they were like, yeah, some, I know exactly what
like
you're
some
ice about.
Like some popsicles, and it was like fruit, like real fruit. And I'm like, you don't see any of that around here. But if we had it.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a place in Memphis that's as close as you're going to get to that. It's called Mem Pops. You can tell they kind of taking their own little derivative of that to kind of create that, but that's about as close as you can get. And then there's a Mexican restaurant here in that's in Tennessee, in Memphis, actually, that you can tell like it's full, it's like ran by, like, you, they're authentic. They actually have some of them there too that are about as close as you're gonna get to it. You just, it's hard to find it, but you can, if you kind of look, you can kind of find it, but it's not gonna be the same. You're right.
Yeah, because those were so good. I was like, okay, because I was a little nervous. Because I know a lot of times things, that's it, some things that are international don't kind of taste the same as in regards to. And I was like, okay, I'm a little worried here, because it kind of sent me back to when I was a Girl
Not the
Scout and
same.
went to the Coke Museum,
Not
and
the
when you
same.
try the international drinks, they're tastes not the same. Yeah, so I was a little worried here. I was like, okay, I'm gonna try it, and I hope that it tastes good. Bit into it, I was like, this the one. So I definitely was. I don't know. Cozumel was also my first international trip, so I've always like traveled within the U.S. So
That's a
I'm
good
very
start, though, honestly.
ready to
Mexico and
like
Canada,
just
if somebody just
get
don't
out of
know, you know where to
travel.
start with Mexico and Canada. And I always tell people, if you don't have a passport, start with Puerto Rico. You can go to Puerto Rico without a passport and feel like you're in a whole nother country. You don't feel like you're in the US. And also Hawaii. Hawaii's a little bit on the expensive side. It honestly is. But when you're there, you don't feel like you're in the US, but you don't need a passport. So, you know, that's a good start for people. I always tell people, start with Puerto Rico. And then if you do kind of venture off and you go, you know, get on a cruise, you don't necessarily have to have a passport. Start off, you know, there, get a little taste of it. And then you kind of work your way up. So that's a Yeah, it's a good way to get out the country for, you know, the low-low and
Yeah,
get a taste
cruises
of it
are
if you're a little nervous about
good.
completely just flying into another country, right? So that's a good way to get started, honestly.
That's a shameless plug for anybody. So, you know, I know, of course, the cruise ships were kind of one of the scare horror stories dealing with COVID-19, but they'll clean them up and do what they have to do to make sure that each visitor is safe. But yeah, that was like one of the horror stories of COVID-19. Like, I think it was it and it's crazy
Since
because
so
they
many
didn't even
people
have to
packed
use like
onto,
planes.
you
It was
know,
more
limited,
story
you're
about the
limited.
cruise ships.
You're on unlike a plane, you're there for however many hours, but with the cruise, you all are packed in for days. And one thing about the cruises, honey, I'm just gonna be honest, I don't like eating at the buffets. Because you see those kids, they in the pool, they get straight out, go straight there, snot all on their face, wipe their nose, and go straight to that buffet and start, you know. I actually usually go in the sit-in restaurants at a cruise and actually just make sure that, because you can still eat there as much as you want and they serve you. Most people don't know that. You don't have to just go to the restaurant part for the dinner or the captain's dinner. You can actually go there for your meals when they have meals, it's still included in your price. So you can get served and you can order off a menu as opposed to the buffet. That's usually what I do because that's, I mean, people get sick on cruises anyway. Like I said, just for so many reasons, you got so many people just kind of stuck on that one ship for several days where, you know, some people kind of get sick anyway. So that's why I kind of do the restaurant as opposed to the buffet on a cruise ship.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we kind of, well, we ended up going, we was kind of eating junk, so we decided to eat like the burgers and fries and stuff like that.
Oh,
Because
yes,
that was
them Guy
kind of
Fieri burgers you're talking about.
pretty much the best
Honey,
food at some points.
That's the only buffet I eat on a
Yes,
cruise ship.
yes.
Them
No, it's
burgers,
like
I
a homemade.
love those Guy Fieri burgers on a cruise. It's nothing like it. They be good. They be good. I gotta give it to them. I gotta give it to
Yes. Yes.
them.
I was kind of shocked about that too, honestly. The food on the ship, I was like, okay. And a
Right,
little
it's
nervous,
included.
but it's, I mean, you didn't pay for it, so go on and eat. But We ate those burgers. Ooh, yes. And fries when we first got there. I was like, okay, I'm afraid I'm going to be addicted to these
yes,
fries.
Yes, that's the good thing about a cruise, honey. And you gonna, you going to eat. Like, if you don't awesome. Do nothing else, you going to eat. You're going to gain a few pounds. So, every time I go on one, I gain a few pounds coming back. So I definitely get that. Mm-hmm. And them burgers get me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, kind of got a little bit off, but hey, y'all, as episodes go, especially we talk about traveling, so this, of course, this is gonna be a good episode. What's interesting, I guess, since we are talking about traveling, we are talking about, you know, outside the United States, I do have international listeners mm-hmm. from France, Ireland, Malaysia, Vietnam, and the Philippines. I know you mentioned about Paris, but are there any other?
Yes, I actually, outside of France, the only other one that I've been to is the Philippines. Yes, I went to the Philippines a few years ago, actually. I loved it. Okay, and that's a place that you can take some U.S. dollars, honey, and you can ball out. Like, I got pampered like I've never got pampered before in the Philippines. I think I spent $100, and I might have gotten pampered for 6 hours straight of just the whole nine. Facials, massage, reflexology, the sauna, like, everything that you can think of was covered in that mani-pedi. That was like some of the most relaxing time for me in the Philippines, and the food is amazing. So yes, I have been to the Philippines and I enjoy it. And of course, you know, I've been to Paris and France, but I would like to go to the south of France. I heard it's totally different than Paris. And so that is on my list to go there. It is definitely on my list. Mm.
I'm still stuck on what you said because mm-hmm. you spent less than $100 on 6 hours of pamper. Because I think right. I can average out $100 or so at the salon myself in the spa.
Exactly. Jeez, or just the massage. Like the full body, you know, a massage at massaging me is what, $100 for the little. You know, they kind of cheat you on your time. No shade to nobody that works for massage envy, but you know, you pay for an hour, but they only massage you for 45 minutes out of that hour you pay for. No, honey, I got the work. Full body. They even did a full body scrub. They did. It was like the whole nine. It was the whole nine treatment for like $100. I think I paid like $117, my friend and I. $117. We got pampered for 6 hours straight. Oh yeah, food, and you know, it's just so different. It's very, very different, but I definitely enjoy myself. I actually want to go back. I do. I want to go back and go to other parts of the Philippines because I was in Manila, but they say that there's other parts that you kind of got to go to that has some of the most beautiful water and beaches and things like that that you've mm-hmm. seen. I was kind of in the city part, so I do want to go back and kind of venture off to other parts of the Philippines.
That sounds like awesome. Like, I'm just sitting here just thinking like, okay, I know I initially planned for my 30th birthday. I'm like, okay, that kind of fell apart because of Miss Rona. You know, this coronavirus stuff really, because like my, I don't even know how to describe it. Financials, I was trying to put my money behind so that by the summertime, I'm like, okay, everything's mm-hmm. paid for. But now mm-hmm. it's like, okay.
Canceled several of my trips already, honey. I'm hoping.
The other way
around. I'm hoping that at least I can make the trips that I usually make towards the tail end of the year. That I'm hoping that by then it's safe to travel again. I'm praying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely praying. You gotta pray about it. Exactly. Exactly.
I got granted. Gotta pray about it. Well, I do hope that one day I get to visit any of these places that you mentioned, because I'm still stuck on the Philippines. But but before we continue this amazing conversation, we got to pay some bills. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
We're back. And I just want to kind of shift the conversation to now discuss the experience of traveling while being a Black woman.
Ooh.
I had to say
interesting shift. Interesting shift.
Without
quotations.
So what was your experience?
Okay. You know, honestly, I've had so many different experiences with that. Most have been positive. Honestly, they have. Most have absolutely been positive. But of course, you know, I am still a Black woman, so I would be lying if I didn't say that I didn't have some kind of situations. I've had it on both ends of the spectrum, right? So I've been to places like Canada where I really felt like for the first time, like, wow, this lady not gonna follow me around this store? Or like, you know, I went to Canada and it was where I realized, like, wow, I really do get treated some type of way in America. I'm so used to, you know, the looks or the, you know, just the different things. Y'all know, y'all Black. So, you know, like, you're used to certain you're used to certain things, right? You're used to being treated a certain way. And then when I went to Canada, I actually went with a friend of mine, you know, Candace, right? We were in Canada the first time I went. And we just was like, this is so weird. Like, what is so different? And we realized, like, wait a minute. Like, these people don't care if I'm Black. If anything, they're excited to hear that, you know, I'm American, if anything. And they were, you know, they only know, they heard the accent and they said, you know, you guys, are you from New Orleans? Because half of the time, that's the only place they know in the South, that, like, New Orleans. And I'm like, no. Oh, wow. But yeah, that was really interesting because the people were so nice, like, extremely nice. And it was just weird, right? I was just like, not used to that. I was not used to going into certain establishments and not being treated a certain way or followed a certain way or, you know, having certain experiences. And so that was on the way other end of the spectrum where it didn't really matter what color I was. Nobody, you know, I saw multiracial groups of friendships, you know, where you have so many different cultures of friends just hanging out. And, you know, living in the South, and we're going to be honest, like, we don't see that too often, right? You just don't see it too often. And so it was really a cool experience because it felt weird. But then, you know, if I go to the under end of the spectrum, for instance, in the Philippines, while I enjoyed the Philippines, I had to get used to people staring. They're not used to seeing Black people, especially Americans, Black Americans. So they would just stare like, oh, wow. Like, really? Because I'm different. Everybody else there, you know, America truly is a melting pot for the most part. We're used to seeing a bunch of different cultures. But over there, you know, they're not used to seeing just a whole bunch of different cultures. They're used to their people. So I got stared at a lot. My friend, she was living there at the time. She, for work, she was used to it, but it still even bothered her sometimes. And then, you know, I've experienced in, you know, different parts of the world where, for instance, let me think of another situation, Barcelona. So I went to Barcelona. I had been wanting to go to Barcelona for a long time. Went to Barcelona and they stared a lot and I was so uncomfortable. You know, I enjoyed myself. I had a good time because I know me, I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to learn about the culture. I'm going to make sure I do my best to have a good time. And I still had a great time, but there, just like the Philippines, I had to get used to being stared at. And that's a little bit uncomfortable because in our culture, you're taught as a child, don't stare, right? Don't stare. Correct. And so they have no shame about it staring, right? And then when you go to, like, for instance, when I was in the Hong Kong airport and these people try to, you know, certain Chinese, they would come up and try to take pictures of you, right? for me, that was uncomfortable because they're like, oh, a Black person, like, oh, they're Black. They're not used to seeing anybody else other than Chinese people. And so the taking the pictures and that really made me uncomfortable. Like, I get that, you know, you're not used to it. But in our culture, we just don't do that. We don't just go up to people that we don't know. So there's a lot of culture differences. Like, we don't just go up to people that we don't know and start taking their picture and trying to take a selfie with them, you know, just blatantly in their face. So that was something to get used to. But once again, that kind of goes back to that open-mindedness of like other people's cultures, because what's acceptable for someone else may not be acceptable. But overall, I've had positive experiences. I've always been treated, for the most part, with the utmost respect. People are usually curious and they want to talk about America. And I usually ask them questions about their culture. I can say, honestly, though, the worst experience I've had traveling while being a Black woman, and honestly, it was not the locals, it was the tourists. When we went to St. John recently, I was telling you about the St. John trip. St. John is beautiful, but I'll be honest with you, they price St. John a certain way for a certain reason, read between the lines. And so you don't see a lot of, you don't see a lot of Black people in St. John that goes to that island. It's kind of almost kind of like, you know, Turks and Caicos, kind of that kind of price point for the most part. Very, very expensive, very, very kind of exclusive. And so the locals there, I feel like we could learn a lot from them. Just to see a Black person, they were happy. Like, oh my God, like, oh, I'm gonna look out for you, Sue. That kind of attitude. Like, we got y'all, what you need. Like, the locals, when we stayed up talking to them all night and just learning from them, and they kind of were just like, oh yeah, you know, we're cousins, I'm your auntie, you know, and we connected. You know, it's this immediate connection of, you know, we all basically we're the same. We the only difference is where the slave ship stopped, right? And so they had this mentality of like, oh, we want to take care of y'all, we want to talk to y'all, and they talked to us like we're family. But the locals there, there was this sort of not the locals, the tourists there, it was sort of like this attitude of like, what are they doing here? And you know, I noticed it. You know, being asked, what team does my husband play for? Is he an NFL player? Well, he has to be, wow. You know, and these are people, you most of the tourists, you're from America, so you know it's offensive, right? So to assume that, oh, he must play professional football for us to be there. Or another situation happened. I was sitting at the bar, and the people at the hotel and the bar, they all wear these blue polo shirts. And I'm sitting at the bar in this bright orange bathing suit, sipping a pina colada, eating my food. My husband had went to the restroom, and the lady came up, this tourist, and she said, can I get some help? Do you work here? You know, I wasn't having it, right? Excuse me? Why would you ask me, do I work here? Do it look like I work here? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a lot of little ignorant things like that, but it wasn't from the locals. It was from the tourists. And so sometimes you got to think that sometimes some people don't take traveling for what it is. And sometimes they are still very ignorant, even though they are traveling. You know, that's when you don't travel for the right, when you don't get into the culture of where you're at, when you're just traveling just because whatever. And so it was things like that I experienced there. It was just a lot of looks. But it was very positive from the locals. I can honestly say, like, one of the guys, he hooked us up. He was like, oh, you guys don't worry about paying this price. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. You know, that kind of thing. And I was like, wow, like, these people are dope. Like, I love the locals. When I say we talked to them all night at the hotel, we talked to them all night, had a dope time with them. And so they even was like, when y'all come back, y'all got to come to Carnival. You got to come to our Carnival. You know, it was so dope. And so for the most part, I have had positive experiences. But, you know, that's why I say you got to have an open mind, too, because that's where you learn that it's cultural differences wherever you go. There are things that we do here in America that are offensive to other people's cultures, too. Right. And so it's one of those things that you don't, I never let it deter me from wanting to travel the world because of that one experience or that one experience, that one-off experience, especially like I said, in St. John, our experience was that of, we had positive experience with the people that live there and a negative experience with the tourists that were from America. You know, I even heard someone, we were on the train, we were on a ferry, I'm sorry, we were coming, crossing over from St. Thomas into St. John, you have to take a ferry. And you hear people saying stuff like, well, if this is a U.S. Virgin Island, why aren't they serving us U.S.? Something they said, something to that effect of, or why are they driving on the wrong side of the road? You know, that kind of thing. And it's like, why would you assume that they're doing it wrong? What if we're doing it wrong in America? Who's to say that we're wrong and they're right? That's just the way they do things. And that's why I say you need to have an open mind and understand that our way is not the only way. Right. And you don't go to someone else's country or culture and have that attitude that they're doing it wrong because they're not doing it like where you're from. And that was the kind of things that we experienced there. Other than the staring in certain places, usually most people are excited to see an American at that, or a Black person, but especially, you know, a Black American, because it's like, whoa, like, they want to learn. They want to talk. I usually have deep conversations with somebody that's a local when I go somewhere. On the cab ride from the airport in Paris, talked to this guy that was driving. We had the most deep conversation. He was just taking us to the hotel, but he just talked. He was just so excited to see, you know, a Black American to talk to. And he asked, like, you know, how do we feel about he sees on the TV the police brutality, and you know, he asked us, how did we feel about that? And we got into some really good, deep conversations because they see that stuff, right? They see that stuff and they perceive it a whole nother different way. And so I can honestly say I've had some really memorable experiences that I wouldn't trade for the world. I've had some negatives, but the positive has far outweighed the negative. It has far outweighed it. And so that's why my mind is so open too, because I want to learn. Like, why do you think that way? Maybe those. And I've also learned too that from other countries, there are some things that certain countries they're doing right. Like, oh, I really like that concept. But for the most part, most people are just excited that you're American. You know, they just want to kind of pick your brain and they want to talk and they want to learn from you. And then they want to, you know, you learn from them, and it's just this exchange of, if you're doing it right and you're touring and you're really getting to know where you're at and the locals, like, you usually just have the best conversations with the locals. And so it has made my experience very positive overall. But it does happen, child. You, depending on where you go, because I promise you, they gave me a headache in St. John. When she asked my husband, was he an athlete? That kind of took the cake for me. Like, are you serious? And my husband, he starts shaking his head because he was like, oh, Lord, they're going to get my wife started. Like, don't get her started. Don't get her started. And I was like, excuse me, why would he have to be an athlete? Like, you know, it's like one of those things. Like, really? Like, Black people travel, you know, because some people are, like, you'll find that a lot of times when you do travel off, you know, out overseas, a lot of times it really is other Americans that are just like, for the most part, you connect when you see, especially, okay, let me just tell you about this Black thing that people do. It's the weirdest thing. So it happened everywhere that I've been. You're in Paris, Bali, whatever. So when we were in Bali, my husband and I ran into these Black people from Alabama, honey. You would have thought it was a family reunion. We were like, where y'all from? Where y'all from? We from Alabama. We from Memphis and Olive Branch, you know, that area. And they were like, really? You know, it was a whole family reunion. We took pictures with these people. We didn't even know these people. Took pictures with them. They was like, we need to get a picture with y'all. It's like this family reunion. They were just like, we so excited to see other Black people traveling, you know, way on this side of the world. Like, this is what we do. And so there's this connection thing that when you see a Black American and out overseas, you kind of automatically, y'all give each other like this nod, this like, okay, I see you, Okay, so I really would like to see that more. I honestly don't like seeing that sometimes, like, I'm the only one, or we're the only one, or my group is the only one, you know? I actually would love to see that more. So when I do see it, there's this excitement of like, okay, so I see you. And you give each other the nod a little bit, because I was wondering why it didn't happen. You know, I knew when I was in Paris, when I ran into someone, because sometimes you'll see a lot of Africans there, and you know, they don't do that. They don't give each other like the nod, different cultures, you know. But whenever we saw each other, because there's a lot of Africans that live in Paris, but when we saw other African Americans, it was like, okay, where y'all from? You know, it's this immediate kind of like connection of like, okay, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're not the only ones. And so that is another thing that we Black people tend to do overseas. Like when you see each other, it's like a family reunion. It really is. Like if you don't say nothing else, you're gonna give each other that nod, like, okay, or at least, you know, where you're from. Yeah. Yeah, so that's my experience is traveling overseas while Black. I can say that.
That is cool. Like you really, like seriously, like you really make me want to go find someone.
Well, let me know, honey, and I will definitely help you. I always tell people, like, if y'all have questions or DMs, usually let me know so I know what to address in my live videos. So I get a lot of questions, like off site, you know, like off the grid, like text messages or in my DMs and things like that about different things. And I'm like, those give me my ideas of things that I need to address or talk about in my live videos. And eventually, hopefully, if I do revamp the YouTube channel and things like that, you give me something to address. So if you ever need help, or anybody really, any of your listeners, like if you guys have an idea or want to talk about planning a trip, or it's your first time really traveling overseas, feel free to hit me up. I'm usually, if I can't answer right away, I will usually always 100% of the time and get back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome. So I know you mentioned about the, like the, I guess the look, the different looks and everything. Is there any other barriers that you may have had, like on these excursions or trips, but experiences?
You know, the only other barrier I can think of, honestly, and it's not a huge barrier. If you're not an open-minded person, it may be a barrier, but the language barrier a lot of times can be an issue, which is why I always recommend before you go on another trip, and if their language is not, overwhelming language is not English, like for instance, when we went to London, there's not really, you know, they speak English, right? It's London. No real research to do as far as the language piece. But for instance, when we went to Thailand, even, you know, in Bali, a lot of them try to speak English because of the tourist industry. But in Thailand, it wasn't as prevalent like it was in Bali, for instance, of people speaking English, or just in different places like Mexico, you may go to when I went to Costa Rica, just different places. There's always going to be different languages for the most part. And so the language piece can kind of be a barrier. But what I have found and what I always do is before I go, I download Duolingo. If you don't have that app, download it. Duolingo is like a language app that kind of helps you learn another language. At least their main phrases and terms to at least kind of recognize it. So, for instance, when you do go somewhere, they admire if you at least try to speak their language, right? You may not speak it perfectly, but you may know how to say hello, goodbye, thank you, please. Learn some of the main words for that culture before you go. So that way, when you get there, you can at least try to speak it, because they're a lot more willing to help you, right? If you're at least like, you know, for instance, in Paris, some people will pretend like they don't speak English if you only want to act like that's the only thing that you're going to speak, right? Because, you know, like I said, back to America, we tend to be like, you know, America, English, speak English. But when you go in, you're in their territory at this point, right? And so you have to try to at least speak their language. It doesn't have to be perfect, but I found that you will go a lot further by trying to do that. Anytime I'm in a country where the primary language is Spanish, I try to speak at least some Spanish, you know, hola, you know, como esta, that kind of thing. It's not perfect. My Spanish is definitely not far from perfect, but I at least try. And I look up different words, or I ask the locals, like, how do you say this? And a lot of times they love it when you ask those kind of questions, and they tell you like this, or, you know, and then you start to show, use your Google Translate, use Google Translate. That's the best thing that you can do. Use Google Translate, try to put in what you're trying to say, try to speak the language, and you will go a lot further. For instance, in Paris, like, I feel like I said bonjour so many times. Bonjour, bonjour, merci beaucoup, like those kind of things. And we did get a lot of people that were a lot more willing to help as it pertains to like giving you directions and things like that. So language can be a barrier, but you just have to try, because it's been times that I have literally in Thailand could not understand this guy, and he could not understand hardly a lick of English. And we were trying to tell him which hotel, like it was kind of a little bit of a mess. But what I tried to do, I went on Google Translate, I put in, you know, Thai, and I tried to type it in and showed it to him on my phone. And then he like, his English was very limited, but he at least got excited that I was willing to put it in my app and show him what I'm trying to say and translate it that way. And he tried to speak the little bit of English that he could, but that's kind of like the biggest barrier. The other thing is not understanding the currency of where you're going can be a barrier, because you can get cheated. And over in Europe, there's a lot of pickpocketers. And, you know, sometimes if you're American and you go certain places, they want to try to charge you a different rate, right? Like, oh, American, they automatically assume we're all rich. Not, that's just a general statement, so forgive me for that. But that is the consensus. Like, a lot of places that you go, if you're American, we're going to charge you more. And so you need to research the best for currency there when you get there. Like, do I transfer my money over at the airport, or do I get a transfer before I get there? As far as the exchange rates of the US dollar. So one thing that I always recommend is there is an app that I keep on my phone, and this makes sure I do not get cheated out of money. It's a currency app, the XE currency app. And in that app, I type in how much it is in their money, and it tells me exactly how much it is in US dollars, or vice versa. And so that kind of keeps you on track. Cause I'll be honest, for instance, when I went to the Philippines, I'll tell you a story about the currency really quick. I went to the Philippines. I tipped this lady. I did not know that. I basically tipped her like 20 US dollars, which goes extremely far there. Right. That goes kind of decent for a tip here. That's decent. I didn't know that was enough to basically give her groceries for like a month. And so I was just handing out the dollars because they were pretty, they were colorful. It didn't look like, I didn't know, you know, I didn't necessarily completely know. My friend that was there, I gave the lady the tip, and she was just looking like she was in tears and was like hugging me and was like, thank you so much. And I'm just like, okay. And my friend was like, what did you tip her? And I was like, I gave her one of these. And she was like, girl, you just fed her family for a whole month. That's why she's crying and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Like, you know, I'm like, I didn't know. So from then on, I learned, like, let me keep this currency app on there. I am very generous, because you usually get some excellent service when you go overseas a lot of the times. Excellent service, like top-notch A1 service. So I am usually really generous, but I didn't really know that I was giving her that much money. I just handed her one of the little, they were colorful. Usually the money is really pretty outside of the U.S., so I just handed her what I had. And so you got to kind of, the currency piece can kind of be a barrier, because it is very different to try to figure out if you're being cheated, or if you're paying, you know, too much and all of that. I would definitely recommend people downloading that currency app before you travel internationally, for sure. So those are two barriers that I can think of.
Well, y'all got two apps y'all need to download. Mm-hmm. Google Translate. And then,
oh, Duolingo.
Well,
Duolingo.
Three actually, because you said Google Translate. Combo Duo.
Yes, the currency Duolingo app.
Girl, Duolingo. and the currency app.
So yes.
Y'all got yes, the download on top of your travel stuff. So y'all be good to go.
Yes. Because if you don't know,
very, very, very helpful. And I just find it so amazing that you still find pleasure in continuing to fulfill your dreams of traveling. But you all, she does not just travel. I think y'all heard a little bit about what she does outside of all this, but she is an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And a businesswoman, because she works a 9-to-5. This girl does everything. So could you tell the listeners about your other business
ventures? So outside of my corporate job, my 9-to-5, which is my passion, what I do in that, I do love that. I love business, period. I've always been a business person. I've always loved business. Ever since I was one of those people, I knew I was going to major in business. I knew I was going to be in business. And so one thing that my husband and I, we started a trucking company recently. It's been in the making for a while, but we've started it. It's getting off the ground. Rona kind of held us back a little bit, that doggone Rona. But yes, we have a trucking company. It's called Barnes Trucking and Logistics. It is a lot of work, honey. I feel like I have two jobs for sure. It is a lot running a trucking company. It is a lot to it, a lot of government regulation, but it's very rewarding. It really is. And I do, you know, I do already enjoy it because I enjoy the business side of everything that I do. I've been an entrepreneur now for a while. If I count my first business, that I used to own before this, I used to own a hair company before this, and it was doing really well. The only thing I would say about that is, you know, be careful who you go into business with, honestly. That makes a difference. Everybody doesn't have it in them to be an entrepreneur, but everything is a lesson learned. You know, I learned a lot. And so that has really helped set this tone for me, knowing everything that I need to know, as much as I need to know. I knew the basis, the foundation. I knew what it took to be an entrepreneur by the time I started this trucking company. So God has a way of working things out where things sometimes that happen that's bad to you, He can use it for your good. And I have learned now that through every experience that I gain, it's setting me up for another experience. And so had I not had that experience of my first company, then I wouldn't have been able to so easily be able to kind of go in and just know what to do with the second business. And I'm also working on, I've been consulting on the side, small business consulting on the side for a while now. Not anything in an official capacity, but what I do is I work with people on helping them start their own business. And usually what I'll find is through that process, either they will go through with it and start the business all the way, or they realize very quickly, like, you know what? Entrepreneurship is not me. And so that's kind of the goal. Like, either you're going to realize that it's for you and I'm going to help you get there and help you, you know, where to start. Because honestly, you got people out there who they don't want to help people, right? They feel like it's only one lane and one space. And I just feel like it's enough out there for everyone. So I'm going to start to do that in more of an official capacity on the side. I have a couple of clients that I've worked with. And like I said, either they have decided it's not for them, or they do have a business or they're in the process of starting a business. So just taking that experience and kind of empowering my community and those that I know to, you know, be real about entrepreneurship, because let's just be honest, it's very glamorized, right? But people usually only see that outer shell of the iceberg. They don't really see what all really goes into it, and how many losses you take, and how many sleepless nights, and how many late nights, early mornings, and they don't really see everything that goes with it. And so I take the approach of being real with clients on, listen, let me just keep it real with you. You need to know this. You know, there's lessons that I learned along the way in my first business that if I had not went through that, I couldn't have helped someone else to know, like, you want to avoid that pitfall, and you want to avoid this, or you want to actually do this. This is what no one taught me, and I had to learn the hard way. So those are my other business ventures, and definitely they are keeping me busy for sure. Yes, it's a good busy. Good busy. I do need a vacation, honey, but it's a good busy.
But it's a good busy. It all pay off, because it's just amazing. You know, they always say you learn a lot about a person when they give back to people who don't, you know, who you don't expect things back from.
Yes.
So it's just that speaks volumes within itself and bias. Just to give back and just not think of, okay, well, what I'm gonna get back from this, or what I'm gonna get out of it. It's not even, you know, and I think that's also a part of entrepreneurship that people don't recognize, is that, of course, it's space enough for everybody to make it. It's, you know, you may have your own lane, but it's space for everybody to have their own. There's multiple lanes. I mean, even in a race, horse racing, of course they got their blinders on, but they in their own lane. And no matter what they say, they all train for this race. They all in their own lane. They just going. Of course, it's a winner.
And, eventually, you're going to get there to that finish line.
But they're going to keep going until they
Yeah, I think the horse is a perfect example of that. Like, sometimes the entrepreneurial community can be a little bit on the snobbish side, right? Like, people don't want to share different things and different information. Like, I understand if you're a consultant and you get paid to share that information, by all means, that's your business. I respect it. But, you know, sometimes you should, if somebody comes to you, even if you're not in that capacity where that is your actual business, but if somebody comes to you and you've started a business, why would you not want to share that information with people? You know, I feel like, I love that our community right now is starting to look at entrepreneurship a lot differently, and everybody's wanting to do it. I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm just like, why not share if you have been in that space and you have experienced different things? Why wouldn't you share that information with those who would like to get into that? Because if all else, if they realize just from hearing what you have to say that it's not for them, you still have helped them, right? You still have helped them. You've told them this is helped them save some extra money and energy trying to put it into something, only to realize, like, you know what, this is not for me. Because entrepreneurship is not for everybody, you know, and it's not. I think for those that do it, and you know, Christy, like, it's not for everyone. It's not. It takes a certain kind of hustle, a certain kind of drive, a certain kind of person. Yeah. Because if you don't do entrepreneurship for the right reasons during a time like this with Corona going on and all that, and you don't have that certain kind of something about you, that hustle about you, you would fall. You would crack right now if you didn't have it. So it's not for everyone, and that's okay. That's okay too. Okay.
Yeah. And I think too is I think the other part with entrepreneurship is that you gotta find the passion and the purpose. So you can't like chase what everybody else is doing, because somebody's gonna find out you're trying to do what somebody else is doing. But if you have the passion and the purpose behind it, then no matter if Corona is happening right now, you're gonna be like, well, my passion is behind X, Y, and Z. So it don't matter if Corona here, Corona cannot be here. I can have 10,000 people support me. I can have 100 people support me, but it's my passion.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other part that people, they just kind of hop on the gravy train of what other people, because I'm seeing a lot of, and it's just a sidebar, and there's nothing against anybody that's doing it, But I see a lot of people like doing, mm-hmm. I guess I can't figure out the name of this industry, mm-hmm. but it's where like you're exactly selling right. products. Everybody's selling the products, but that might not be your calling. So it's like, if that's not in your lane or if that's not mm-hmm. what you're passionate about, of course it might work out for a little while. It might work out. It might not work out. So I think that's just kind of the part that everybody mm-hmm. don't talk about, or mm-hmm. with the snobbish attitudes, or just people not willing to support or
yes.
give back to their community, or even mm-hmm. you know, everything is a quick book type of ordeal. Like is a dollar amount because I'm buying.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. That's one thing that I tell my clients. Like, honestly, you said exactly what I tell my clients. I always ask them, so what's your why? What is your why? Think about what your why is. Why do you want to do this? Because your why is what's going to keep you going when things get hard. And when you see that other side to entrepreneurship that you may not expect or people don't talk about, but your why you're doing it. If you have a why and your purpose attached to it, that's what keeps you going. That's what you need. That's what you need to keep you going, because there are going to be times that you're going to be like, I really don't even know why I'm doing this. But like you said, if you have purpose or passion attached to it, you know, it's going to give you that strength to keep going. It's going to give you that reason to keep going. If you just look at it like, this is just a dollar, I'm just trying to make a quick buck, that's one thing. Then I tell them, you should just look into something to invest in. So there's a difference. It's a big difference between an investor and an entrepreneur. There's nothing wrong with just being an investor, mm-hmm. investing in something, investing in real estate or whatever it may be. That doesn't require you to necessarily be a full-on entrepreneur. So getting people to kind of see the difference in that, like, you should probably be an investor then. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you're building relationships with these customers or these partners or clients or whatever your industry call them. And, you know, you're building these relationships. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of times people mm-hmm. post bad mm-hmm. experiences with their clients, customers, or whoever.
It does.
It kind of puts a damper on your brand or whatever you're trying to promote. So it's like, and which it goes across the board for everything that you do. You know, you're thinking like, okay, well, I'm gonna post this little argument I had with this client on social media, mm-hmm. talk about how bad my clients are, especially at a time like this where people aren't able to pay or cover.
Oh, I saw that. Things. That was so horrible. Unprofessional. I even saw
a situation about a prom makeup session. That, that was a reimburse. So, you know, mm-hmm. it shows mm-hmm. one, it shows the person as an individual that they just don't care based mm-hmm. on the circumstance. And then them as an entrepreneur shows that they lack, you know, professionalism. Like, it, all in all, you know, we have all these different titles, a whole, you know,
mm-hmm. your brand
spots.
Personal branding too. Personal branding.
This stuff and
it all ties together. It really does.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, of course, like, you travel, but also you work a 9-to-5, pertaining to business. You're a consult. Well, pro bono. Well, you might be getting paid though, so you might be pro bono, but you're a consultant, and then also you have a business with your husband, so you kind of always maintain, which I admire a lot. You're welcome. You maintain this professionalism across the board, and I think that's what people need to see and need to continue to follow, is that even and of course sometimes celebrities don't do a good job at this, And I don't know why, because they got publicists, but I guess these folks have publicists these
days. Right, right.
Some of the stuff I be seeing, I'm like, okay, y'all doing stuff regular people would never. Like, like y'all got all this money and y'all doing this. But, you know, it's something that people do need to see, is people mm-hmm. across the board being professional, still being who they are, still enjoying their hobby, still.
Oh yeah, I'm a whole other person. I turn into Beyonce. You know, she is my inner, at the same time. Inner business. She's my inner woman when I get into business mode, honey. Beyonce Giselle knows Carter comes out.
And honestly, she is somebody to learn from, because even with the Coachella situation, I don't think people realized that last year. Like, she got part shit.
Yes.
She performed, she headlined.
Yes, she is my shero.
I was that.
Exactly. Like, she is my shero, honey. And you so, yeah, I turn it to a whole nother person when it comes to business. I get serious and I tell my clients, especially some that are friends, listen, right now, I'm not your friend. We talking business right now. Yes.
That's really amazing. I just want the listeners to know, because, you know, a lot of people, they talk about travelers and, you know, they think people that travel all the time mm-hmm. don't have, or people that are passionate about certain things don't have real jobs or real real businesses. And a lot of times it's a hobby and a pleasure at the same time. So, really cool. So is it, mm-hmm. and of course we're at the end of this episode, which we've talked about so much, but is it, girl, so anything you have upcoming?
Yes.
I know you're trying to mention the YouTube.
Yes, page. You inspired me. You inspired me from our conversation we had not too long ago to kind of maybe revamp it up, because the biggest part about YouTube that I didn't like was that, like I told you before, I love traveling so much. I want to keep it as a passion and something that I just enjoy doing. I'm not expecting to get paid or make a lot of money off, you know, teaching people about traveling. And I felt like YouTube was kind of making me have to think about it that way. And so when you kind of let me know that I can save a little bit of time and I could just pay somebody to edit it, it was like light bulb, because the editing is the hardest piece. So, you know, I'm thinking about revamping it back up and just knocking out several videos in one day, paying someone to edit them and just keep them coming out and get me a regular cadence. Once I kind of figure out the cadence with all my other businesses and work and all these other things that I have going on. And so that's one of the things that I want to revamp. But I am going to be doing a live. I will be posting soon. Because right now I've been kind of depending heavily on my lives on Facebook and IG. But I'm going to be doing a live next, talking about international tips. Like, if it's your first time traveling internationally, like, what do you need to know? What are some things you need? Some of these we touched on. But I definitely plan to do that. And I plan to continue, even if it is pro bono, because I'm just that passionate about helping people start businesses or understand business more if it's something that they're interested in doing. I'm definitely still open, if people have questions about that, to schedule time and help people on that in my communities, because that is something I just think is very important, if it's something that someone has a desire to do, because a lot of times people just don't know where to start. So I'm still working on that. So I'll be doing a live soon. I'll be posting information on that and revamping this YouTube channel back up to have it out there. Thanks to you. So that's basically what I have going on right now. The trucking business is taking so much time right now, though. Honestly, I think once this corona stuff is kind of evened out, it may not take as much time, because I really hope to be able to hire someone to kind of help with some of these administrative duties soon. I just hired my driver, but kind of working on that too. So that is basically it, girl. Okay.
So they can follow
me on my personal page, which I post just as much traveling on there, is my other page. It's on Instagram at the Pretty Wanderer 89, or at the Pretty Wanderer underscore, and on Facebook as the Pretty Wanderer as well, or my personal Facebook at Fatima Barnes, Fatima Hassan Barnes. So I'm on there as that, or they can email me at the Pretty Wanderer channel at gmail.com. So that's how I can be reached.
Okay, so y'all got multiple ways to follow her, and then y'all about the live next week and just see all the amazing photos that they have taken on the trip.
Yes, girl, you know I love my photos.
But as for me, Crown by Christy, which is my virtual pageant coaching. Well, I'm trying to make this like a one-stop ordeal for pageants, for girls to prepare, girls and women to prepare. But I have my virtual coaching session still available. It's going on now if anybody is preparing for any state, local, national, collegiate, because I know a lot of the colleges are doing virtual competitions, or they're like oratorical speeches or anything like that, for them to prepare for their next year. All of that, and in between, still working with different pageant organizations and things like that, judging, coaching, etc. Because we gotta practice social distancing, unfortunately. So, what other way, to kind of, you know, I guess not bypass time, but make time useful if the person wanted to, because one thing about this whole ordeal is that, you know, some people are working, some people are resting, and nothing's wrong with neither one of them. So they're both available. You know, so if somebody is interested in getting some sessions or trying to do a consultation, anything, I will put the page and the email address in the show notes. My boutique is officially open. I think I put the link in there last week. I put the link in there again this week for people to kind of look at a couple of pieces I have on there. If initially it was for pageant girls to, you know, look nice for their interviews, but I decided to just open up to whomever. So it is a couple of interview pieces on there, and I got to actually upload the rentals. So of course I know prom, unfortunately for the majority, has just canceled. But if someone is hosting like a ball or something in replacement of this prom, which I really hate that prom did get canceled for a lot of people, they can rent a couple pieces if they fit the sizes or whatnot. I got shoes on there as well. And I think this summer, which I've kind of been doing a little research, because that's the most important thing about boutiques and fashion, is doing the research and thinking about adding additional line on for our pageant girls, which is one that's a little bit unique that most places don't have that they think about when competing. So once I put that together and premiere, y'all will see. But I will put the link to the boutique on the within the show notes, so y'all can visit and purchase and, you know, and whatever you need to do. But lastly, if you would like to provide feedback on this podcast or ask any questions pertaining to the show guests, you can contact me at empowerher, empowerher podcast at gmail.com. You can follow on Facebook or Instagram, Empower Her Podcast with Chrissy Sippy. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast to all of your friends. Until April 20th. I don't know what I was just thinking about. October. Until April 20th with episode 9 of the Empower Her Podcast with Chrissy Sippy. So I hope you guys enjoy Easter. Good Friday, of course, because Good Friday is first, and then Easter Sunday is coming up. I hate that this social distancing is really killing the traditional Easter, which means kids will be doing their Easter speeches on Facebook. So everybody get their kids dressed up, ready to say Happy Easter, y'all, with their baskets. Should nobody ruin their speech, because it's online, so we should have no problems. this Easter, no crying or anything like that. But no, without serious stuff, I hate this social distance stuff is happening because it's ruining a typical holiday. The kids really do get to be kids, and they, I guess, it's a little difficult, but it'll be all right. I just hope that like Cinco de Mayo don't get ruined or 4th of July don't get ruined, because I think that's where the problem is. So, that's the adult holidays. but y'all, serious, please stay safe and practice precaution during this pandemic. All right, so hope y'all enjoy. Bye-bye.
Okay, you know. Okay.